KW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Vatican says the papal conclave to elect a successor to Pope Francis will begin Wednesday, May 7th. But the process may not conclude on May 7th, as ABC's Terry Moran explained from the Vatican.
Once all the cardinals have voted, the ballots are counted, read aloud, and noted. The votes are then burned in an iron stove at the end of a session. Black smoke signals that no one reached the two-thirds majority required to be elected. If that happens, the cardinals return to vote twice in the morning and twice in the evening.
In Florida, one person was killed, 12 others were hurt. They were on a ferry in Clearwater that was hit by another boat, which left the scene but has since been located. Congress is back in session today. Republicans say their priority is passing a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a key issue in that country's national election. Canadians today choosing a new prime minister. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Today is Superhero Day. Real-life superheroes come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all ages and abilities. Real-life superheroes are the ones that go above and beyond to help those in need. The American Red Cross of Wisconsin Northeast Chapter is seeking local heroes who have shown exceptional courage, dedication, and selflessness in heroic contributions to their community. They will honor them at the 2025 annual Northeast Wisconsin Heroes Golf Classic. Rebecca Rockhill, Executive Director of the Red Cross Northeast Wisconsin Chapter.
They don't do it for recognition, but we want people to hear their story. We want people to hear the good that is being done in the community, and that there are everyday heroes that are making oftentimes life-saving acts of heroism.
If you know an individual, group, or organization that has gone above and beyond to save a life or make a community better, you're encouraged to nominate them. To nominate a hero, visit redcross.org/Wisconsin and fill out the online nomination form. All nominations must be submitted by May 31st. A crash Saturday in Kewaunee County claimed the life of one person and injured eight others. Kewaunee sheriff's officials say the two-vehicle collision in Mount Pilliar happened when a Toyota SUV failed to stop at a controlled intersection and hit a Chevy SUV. The Toyota was driven by a 29-year-old Green Bay man. He and his four passengers were taken to the hospital with injuries. A passenger in the Chevy SUV died on the scene, while the driver, a 72-year-old DePere man, and two of his passengers were also taken to the hospital. No names have been released. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. Last night in Milwaukee, the Bucks losing to the Pacers, 129-103, and they've likely lost Damian Lillard again. After missing 14 games due to a blood clot in his right calf muscle, today he goes in for an MRI to see if he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in his left leg. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Dealing with what he's doing the whole year, then finding out about his calf, and then, you know, staying in shape, fighting through, being able to come back. I always had respect for Dame before we became teammates, but now my respect level is much higher.
Baseball yesterday in St. Louis, the Brewers' Christian Yelich, the designated hitter on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich now 1-for-1, and a ground ball through the right side, another base hit. Two runs are in. The Brewers have scored a touchdown against the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Brewers went on to win 7-1. The Packers going back to work today after drafting eight new players over the weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Wow, what a forecast from Brittany Merlot.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on things tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That could be a little bit, and that could be more than a little bit nasty. I'll tell you what, talk about the big nasty. We're going to talk to him right now, Mark Daniels. That was his name when he played for the Green Bay West Wildcat Little League team that went to the College World or the Little League World Series. Correct, Mark?
It's every day, Mark.
Yeah. Morning, guys.
Was it your brother on that team or something, though, Mark? I thought you had somebody really close that went to that World Series.
No, I don't think that team ever got to the Little League World Series. They got close. Tom Anderson and those boys. They got maybe to the regionals. I can't remember.
But anyway, then they played. He told me they played a team from Kentucky. And the starting pitcher for Kentucky was 6'2", 245 pounds in Little League.
Yeah, really. They didn't bring birth certificates to the regionals.
Where is he? He's in the locker room shaving. He'll be out in a minute.
Parking his car. Hey, Mark Daniels, great longtime legendary, one of the great sportcasters ever to come out of the Green Bay area. And the first year you had a chance to, I guess I could say, enjoy a draft, Mark, yes or no? Or did you have the juices still flowing that you wanted to predict the next pick?
No, I mean, it's way better than working all night, you know, Thursday night and going into, you know, tell the people about it and the next morning without getting any sleep. That was a lot better. But, yeah, first draft in 46 years I hadn't covered, but I covered everything around it by just watching it and being there and really experiencing the most unique draft ever here in Green Bay. That's no question about it. And it was a fantastic event. I can't think of anything negative about what happened over the weekend, from the players picked to the experience to how the Packers and the NFL carried this thing off to the people who came to Green Bay. It was marvelous.
Yeah, it really was. Well, let's talk a little bit about just the picks overall. And again, hey, what do you think about the draft there, Mark? And like you and I will say, I'll tell you in 3 years.
Before we get to that, I just got to ask you, what do you think of Clay Matthews' opening statement?
Because I was surprised.
A little off color. Jim, I don't know. You were a politician, but man, these days, I would just avoid politics. I really would. I just don't think it gets you anywhere. It only riles some people up, makes others laugh.
Right. Do you think he got the green light? Do you think he got the green light to do that?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if he just did that on his own or whatever. But
I just thought that was like, I was surprised. I was obviously there, but it was like, wow. I just got to tell you, and you've met this, Chris, you've met a million people, but, like this best friend of mine, he was in my wedding with my brothers. Anyway, he's from Chicago, big, huge Bears fan. He didn't come up because of that.
Really? He was so mad about that?
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, God. Lighten up. But
come on.
Yeah, no, really. I'm not kidding you. So,
I know,
anyway,
I'm just, knowing you up, but just.
But anyway, I was curious as what
I was
you
surprised.
Thought of that. Okay,
like I said, just I mean,
I was fine with the Bears still suck. I was. Think you know the letter from Trump thing just flips the switch in people, it man. It just does.
I mean, I can see him saying. We got this
right.
From the family of Curly Lambeau. This is in his last will and testament. I hope 100 years now, the Bears still suck. Anyway, and they do. You know, something like that versus the political part.
We covered 46 of them. I was just curious. Yeah. Okay, anyway, go on.
But go ahead, Mark. What do you think about overall?
I was two out of the first three wide receivers. I can just imagine what Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre are saying.
I know. It's the first thing I thought.
More than what fans are saying. But from everything I've heard about, you know, Matthew Golden, you know, I think the kid's, you know, has a really good chance to make a big impact. I was really surprised about the Escalade they brought in the second round. And then, and then they just filled in pieces after that with guys that, you know, even when I was working, probably had very little knowledge of.
But, Mark, I think that was a great statement to Jordan Love in regards to, okay, he's not Aaron Rodgers yet. He's not Brett Favre yet. But we're still molding him in a certain way. Let's take care of this kid. Let's do that. And I know Gutekis at the end, you know, he said, well, I didn't think I'd be sitting here at a draft wrap-up talking about, you know, two wide receivers in the first three rounds. And that's fine how you go into something not knowing certain guys would fall in a certain place. But I'd love it that they pulled the trigger instead of saying, well, let's trade this one down a little bit and let's get another DB or another lineman or whatever. I love the fact they're bringing in a couple of skilled players, aren't you?
Yeah, because maybe their best skilled player isn't going to be available till November.
Right.
And quite honestly, John, when the difference in the Packer offense with Christian Watson and without Christian Watson is so noticeable. Mm-hmm. When he is well and right, he makes plays, one. Two, he runs safeties deep, creates so much space for the Dobbs and the Wicks and the Reeds and the Crafts that this offense is so much better when he is in there for those reasons. Without him, these guys became brick hands, and I'm sure Goody was alarmed at the way Wicks couldn't catch anything last year, the way Reed kind of just vanished in the offense. So, hey, let's beef up the competition and try and draw more out of the guys we have and hope these guys help Love even more.
You know, like somebody said one time, I forget who it was, when one of our old Packers from whatever, they said nothing motivates a guy more for his off-season workouts than after watching the draft. And that's the case, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, they came. Hey, they went in my position, first round. Mm. Better get to work. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Hey, I remember taking a leak in the old Packers locker room way back in the day when the players, do you remember, Mark, this would have been 1988? Because I know Randy, or 87, because I remember Randy Wright was there. Larry McCarron was there the year before, but guys would come in, and this sounds crazy now, Jim, okay? Guys who lived in Green Bay would come in, and they would work out in the Packer, you know, and they would come in, and they'd change in, like, the locker room in the morning of the draft. It was so small. I guess what I'm saying, it was such a small thing compared to now.
Yeah,
and right. I remember Larry McCarron, we're in the men's room in the locker room there, where it's just draft headquarters, and Larry, you know, doing his thing. I said, hey, did you see who the Bears drafted? He goes, yeah, some fat bleep, huh? And it was the fridge. He goes, you see how fat that guy is?
It was really different there. You know, the first year I covered the draft was the year before ESPN and television even became involved in the event. So, I mean, that was very, Jurassic era stuff. And you're right, we were headquartered just in the locker room. Players and coaches would come around. The Packer equipment manager would bring a piece of tape with some, you know, Sharpie written name written on it and slap it across his easel, and that's how we knew who the first round pick was.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
We got you on here for I think the whole half hour, but I got to ask you about Sanders, the prank call. Like, you've covered this thing forever. Just your opinion on both Sanders.
Sure, Sanders.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing there, I really think, this is just my opinion, but I just think a lot of guys weren't wowed by the production. And two, they're drafting Deion. You know, Deion is going to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
No matter what you do, and I don't know if that was real welcome. That's just my opinion. The crank call thing, 21-year-old son of an Atlanta Falcons assistant coach acting like an 8-year-old. That's what that was.
It's amazing.
That was just really stupid, and I think he realized how stupid it was, and I saw the written apologies and everything else yesterday, but that was just a bit much. And then, from everything I'm hearing, it wasn't the coach or the GM in Cleveland that wanted Shedeur Sanders. It was Jimmy Haslam who said, let's make the trade and go get him. So that's a problem.
Hey, Mark.
That's like Dominic Olenicek making the first round draft.
Mark, one thing that you, myself, Todd, and Jim have from being in the media and politics their whole life, you developed such a bull crap meter. It's incredible. Okay. And you tell me that we haven't all read body language, which you know means more than what comes out of their mouths at times. And that shot of the Cleveland Browns front office when they made that pick, tell me.
I don't think you have to have a real good meter for that one.
You tell me that wasn't kind of like, remember, they did, God bless, not trying to make light of this, but the prisoners of war, where they literally, you'd see them reading, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And they'd already taken Dylan Gabriel a few rounds earlier. That's Cleveland being Cleveland.
Isn't it, though? Some teams just can't get it right.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. It was fun being at the event all weekend. Not all weekend, but I was there quite a bit. I was in the mosh pit, you know, on Thursday night. But my son-in-law is a Carolina fan, and his brother from Fargo is a Browns fan. And so we were there, and when the Browns traded, you know, the number two pick and then took the kid from Michigan, he was livid. He just throws up his hands and said the same thing you do. You just did about the Browns are a franchise that just is a bad franchise.
Okay, Mark, I got to ask you this, though, because I'm sure you saw it. And I literally replayed it. I thought to myself, no, I didn't hear that right. I didn't hear that right. Mel Kiper going off. The NFL has gotten it wrong for 50 years. They don't know what they're doing. The NFL doesn't know what it's doing. Did you see that meltdown, Mark?
I heard about it. No, I really, I didn't see it, but I did hear about it. And I think Mel's suffering perhaps from a bit of, dementia-related anger there.
I think so.
I'm not sure what that is. But, I mean, I'll never forget, you know, way back, you know, when he was ripped on national TV by the Colts GM and everything else. Who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Yeah.
And quite honestly, Mel Kiper made a pretty good life by just blowing out information on the air, hot air, about college prospects. So,
hey, Mark, I remember my very first post-press conference. It was the first press conference I ever covered in Green Bay. And it was like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning after the draft went to about midnight or 1 in the morning. And we're there in the locker room. There's Forrest Gregg. Never met him before. Of course, remember him as, you know, whatever. And I remember Lee Steele asking a question. Coach, you know, this player had this injury. So-and-so missed his entire junior year because of an injury. And so-and-so's coming off an injury. How do you justify? Who in the hell are you to question? You know how much work we put into this. And I come here on a Monday morning. I have to listen to something like this. Is that what that's going to be? I'm thinking to myself, this is my first day covering the Packers and Forrest Gregg. He's like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. Remember that, Mark? You probably experienced so many of those that one didn't stand out for you.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Start twitching and all that sort of. Yeah, welcome to the piece there, John.
that was a little blast in my face. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, it's great having you on, man. All the respect to the world for everything you've done, and I sure hope one way or another, if you want to, you keep your foot in this pond of whatever talking about the Packers is.
Yeah, all right. No problem. Yeah, it's fun.
Appreciate you getting up early, and congratulations on your phenomenal career and just how amazing your kids have turned out.
I'll pass it along. Thanks, John.
You got it, brother. Jim, take care, Mark.
You bet.
See you, buddy. Mark Daniels joining us. We got Kristen Ambos coming up, Point Mortgage Corporation, Rich Thompson, Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference. That'll be interesting. Joe Furlow and Neil Parsons, the Grand in Oshkosh, the Fourth Wall Ensemble coming up. And, of course, Mike Clemens, Civic Media, wrapping it up as well. Back after this. Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey, Gina, did you hear about the draft?
Wayne, there's no draft at Pella.
There's definitely a draft, right, Wilde?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it.
Pella windows are constructed of the highest quality. No drafts. But Pella should be everyone's number one pick because right now at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, get no interest financing options or free glass upgrades.
So where is the draft?
Coon. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 4:30, 2025.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. Special thanks. Mark Daniels joining us. Brittany Merlot joining us from the Civic Media Meteorology Department. And once again, man, check out that forecast. If you got weather apps, if you're out and about tonight, that could be nasty. It looks a little bit northwestern of Green Bay, but the line was all the way through Oshkosh. That looked to be the southern border.
Oshkosh.
And moving a little bit northeasterly. But, man, where it's coming through between here and Wausau, right in that epicenter, that looked nasty. And then, as they would say in Caddyshack, don't believe the heavy stuff's coming down for quite some time yet. Right, Todd? I mean, it's going to be like 6 o'clock tonight, maybe 5
or
6.
Yeah, later on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Looks tornadic.
Wow.
But you just got to keep an eye on it.
So calm right now, though. It's hard to believe it's going to be that bad.
Floodstorm.
Got a texture. I think the first pick was all Mark Murphy. No way he was going out on stage to announce the usual goody first round pick of a defensive back or an offensive lineman.
Been since 2000. What was it, two? When was the last time he
did 23 years ago, I thought. Was it 2002, Javon Walker?
But he said that. I mean, that was part of his intro. So you're right. When he came out to announce it, you're like, okay, this is good.
I mean, I'm going to give you, you want me to give you just a little, I don't want to say insight, but I will never forget this. After the draft, I had to go to Brett Favre's house and drop off something that the unit wanted to give me to him from Iraq, okay? Because he had autographs, yada, yada. So I went over, called Deanna, whatever, said, can I come over? I said, got to be honest with you, I haven't talked to you since the draft. What'd you think? When they drafted, it was the Rodgers draft.
Oh, yeah, boy.
He goes, Johnny, you really want to know? I go, does that say it all? He goes, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all he said. You really want to know? He was so horked off.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, with his whole, I don't want to say pouty thing, but whatever, I don't know if I'm going to play. That whole thing, part of that, I guarantee you, was personally PO'd at the Packers for doing that. And that was his way of whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was at that point. I mean, he was legitimately 100% still completely PO'd at that organization. There wasn't even a question. And I don't think it ever, from that moment on, it was never the same with Brett Favre and the Packers. Never the same. And his agent, Bus Cook, Bus was a great friend of mine. I drank 1,000 beers with Bus Cook. So I know him really, really well. Okay? Perfect guy to have on your side as an agent. A bulldog type. You'd want the guy representing you, shields you from things, does whatever, does all the groundwork and everything. But I think at that point, he realized there was no bringing Brett back from that.
Yeah.
Now, Brett, listen, man, just relax. We'll just play some fun. He was the same way, like, are you bleeping kidding me? Mm-hmm. How about you get us? We just went to the championship. Give us a receiver. Give us some weapons. Give us a so-and-so. And they did that. And that's when that line was crossed with that from that draft on. Things were never the same. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I'm just telling you, knowing both guys and talking to them personally, that's my honest opinion. No matter what they said in the media, that crossed the line. So draft days can be a bigger factor than you think sometimes with your organization. And with that being said, I know I'm weaving here, but with that being said, when we're talking about the Deion Sanders, the Shooter Sanders, you know, the bringing the guys in from different places, whatever like that, that really impacts, you know, they talk about the quarterback room, the wide receiver room. They say that quarterback room when Rodgers first started was ice cold. I mean, just cold.
Right.
Versus you talk about other ones where you're, man, we had the greatest quarterback room. You know, they're whatever, whatever. Those things, the people, so what I'm saying is with the Browns, you can see some of them saying maybe, okay, we got like three quarterbacks now. Oh, they got the idiot Deshaun Watson, who I still think should be in prison, to be honest with you, for what he did, all those things. So whatever what do you want to say about it. And Joe Flacco's 137 years old, and they draft that kid from Oregon who's undersized. He's like 5'10 and a half, and a lot of people don't think he's going to make it.
Right.
So you want to talk about a mishmash quarterback room you've got right now, where very possibly, in fact, not even possibly, you could tell the Brown coaches didn't seem in on bringing this guy in, because you're bringing the whole, everything that comes with him is coming along. And one bad, you know, you
cancer.
Bench him or you do whatever, and you got all this other stuff coming in. And guys don't want that these days.
They interviewed some, I don't know where I read that, coaches or GMs. GM's job is the future, right? I
mean, that's absolutely.
What the whole draft is about the future. I mean, that's what it is. It's not like, well, we got to win this year, which they want to, but I mean, it's really more about the future. And, you know, the whole thing with, like you said, Aaron, with Rodgers, Love, all that stuff, it's all about the future. But they did talk about, and then one of the coaches or GMs did talk about how one of these guys can be a cancer, and cancer you can't stop cancer.
No question.
I was like, wow, that's a strong word.
But it, you know what I mean? As far as organizational cancer locker room cancer, maybe we shouldn't throw that word out flippantly, but everybody knows what we're talking about.
There's nothing more impactful than that. It's like, wow.
And the thing that with the Cleveland Browns, some organizations just can't get it right. Okay, Johnny Manziel.
Right.
Worst draft pick they've ever made in their lives. Brought his whole circus to town with him, his entourage, his partying, his sneaking out, his lying, his whatever, okay? Then they make arguably, maybe not arguably, I will say this. The Cleveland Browns took Dan Devine off the ledger of the worst draft pick in NFL history with trades when he traded all those draft picks for John Hadle, okay? Mortgage or Packers future. Cleveland Browns did the same thing with Deshaun Watson. Gave him most unbelievable guaranteed contract, which a few years ago wasn't done. Gave up crap loads of draft picks. Right. Brought the lawsuits into their table. Brought all these accusations that are still coming out.
Right.
They brought that into where it's like, really? And now they're bringing in this guy who, for better and worse, they say he's a good kid. Some people say, but it's like, why do you want to bring this extra
drama.
Stuff?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, if you're talking about, you know, Tom Brady in his prime, or even Deion in his prime, where you brought that to the table, but he was phenomenal. You know what I mean? I remember a Packer coach telling, whatever side Deion lines up, they change the play. We're not even looking that way.
Yeah.
He was that great. But these other guys haven't been worth it. Why? Why do it? I don't know. Just my opinion. We're going to set a quick break. We're back with Kristen right after this. Makes us feel better. Call it love. You say
The talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. In small cities and rural areas that lack childcare access, Governor Tony Evers says school districts may be the solution to filling those gaps. Evers says state funding is vital, comparing childcare to public infrastructure. Evers has proposed $480 million for child care providers in his state budget. School district leaders across Wisconsin are trying to figure out what to do after the Trump administration cut $16 million meant for healthier school meals. Savannah Tomei Olson has that story.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced more than $1 billion in funding last year for two programs that help schools, child care centers, and food banks buy locally sourced food. Caitlin Taurinen heads the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. She says schools have roughly $2 per kid to spend on school lunches, and that federal money helped bridge the gap in their slim budgets and partner with local producers.
It's hard for us to do that with the budget that we have. And not only is it hurting the students and the schools that are consuming this food, but it's really making a huge impact on our farmers.
Stacy Nelson is the director of food nutrition services for the Menominee School District. She says that federal money helped them move away from big box foods and give kids more nutritious options from local farmers.
Continuing to pull programs that are meant as a support to those kids isn't going to make America healthy again, which is what we keep saying we're trying to do.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has demanded the USDA restore that funding. Leaders in the Trump administration say cutting it is curbing government waste. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the Substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from The Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of Substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Qualley plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Got something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Special thanks once again, Mark Daniels, for a draft update. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist. And now, from Point Mortgage Corporation, Kristen Ambose. It's always so good to see you.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good today, thank you. How
Excellent.
Are you guys?
Excellent. Very good.
Good.
So, the draft is over. Now we can,
yes.
If people were delaying anything, now's the time to, like, get back into it.
Yeah.
I was talking to you earlier because I was talking to my daughter last night who should buy a house, paying a lot of rent.
Yep.
And I'm like, hey, come on, it's time. And, well, I don't know, you know, president's leaning on Jerome Powell to lower
right.
interest rates. And I don't know. I'm just not this waiting game. It's time. She's been paid. She's been renting for a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's a significant amount of money.
Yep.
What do you think? I mean, it's now's the time, or do you think, you know, let's another month or so we're going to see some movement?
Yeah. So, you know, that's been... That's the same question that's been asked, quite honestly.
Really, from before the election.
From before the election, yeah. Since basically COVID, when rates started to go up. So right after COVID, so probably 23. So for the last 2 years, solidly, they're coming down. I'm waiting for them to come down. I'm waiting for them to come down. I'm waiting for them to come down. And they're not coming down. And the appreciation of the values just keep going up. So you're just still paying more money. So the longer you wait. So
well, you make a good point that if the property's appreciating, who not who cares, but I mean,
right.
Don't stress out about it.
Right. The property's appreciating. They're not going to come down. Inventory levels won't allow that
because
there's just still such a demand. So inventory levels won't. The average first-time home buyer age right now is 38. Now, that alone tells you that the demand is out there so much that they're not going to come down. There's not going to be a housing crash. There's not, you know, we need more money. Think of all the people who are 23 to 24.
I'm
to
trying to
38.
Think how old I was when I bought my first house.
I was 23.
Yeah.
I was 23. So to think if I would have waited another 15 years to buy a house, you know what I mean? That's crazy. And all that rent spent. Now you think of all that rent spent. And if you would have just, you know, instead of fighting it, been like, okay, I'm gonna pay $10,000 over or whatever the case may be. 31?
Yeah. But from the time I was married, I lived in 1, 2, 3, 4 different states, basically.
That makes
so,
a difference.
You know, I never
yes.
bought because I knew, you know, when you're in TV, it's okay, you got a 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. And after that second year, it might be okay, you're
you
out
know.
Of job, you got to move again.
Yeah.
You never wanted that house as kind of a, you know, to
that makes sense.
Weigh you
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Boy, at 38, you're kind of comfortable with renting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it because owning a home is not
yeah.
just paying
it's
a different
old to start yard work and things.
What's up? Say maintenance, yard
yeah.
work, insurance,
yeah.
the, you know, yeah. shoveling the sidewalk,
right? Windows, doors.
The thing that surprises people too, not only that stat, but the national average loan amount right now on a national level is $252,000.
So, what was it? What was it 5 years ago?
Oh gosh, who knows? Half that,
yeah.
But no, really, I mean. $252,000 is a lot to some people, but it's not a lot to others. But when I opened that up on the national average, I expected higher with the way values and prices have gone up.
Yeah,
so the fact
true.
That it stayed in the 250s tells me that it's a strong, stable, you know, housing market.
How expensive a house do you think they're buying if they're getting a mortgage for or getting a loan for 250? Three?
Yeah. Okay. So we have two different buyers right now.
Okay.
They either have 20%+ down,
okay,
or they have no money.
Okay,
you know, very, very little to put down, very little skin in the game. And so then what's happening is your down payment assistance programs, all that are being scrutinized right now, because when people don't have a lot of money into it and they don't have any, you know, quote unquote skin in the game, that tends to increase the foreclosure side of things. So they're making sure that that doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying foreclosures are happening. Foreclosures are still only like, don't quote me on this, but it's been a few weeks, but I want to say less than 1% overall. There's not a lot of them.
I got to tell you something I saw. Jim, this is something I just read this weekend, but I thought in both your wheelhouses. It said you'd be shocked at how many people have full-time jobs, completely mm-hmm. full-time jobs,
yep.
and are homeless.
They're living with us, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
10 years ago, if you said somebody's homeless, oh, can he find a job?
Right.
No, they
right.
work full-time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So part of the problem is, and I never want to override it because I get it. It's easy on my world to say, well, no, housing is great. the reality is that housing has gone up, but the wage gap has not. And so that's why you find the gap between the two types of buyers right now.
And another thing that this person had was, once again, insurance thing that didn't cover some medical
costs that came
out of the blue. Yep. And they can, and it's like they have a great, or not a great, they have a wage earning job that should support, and they can't live. They're homeless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Between the amount of taxes that they pay, and then, like, we've got a big thing, you know, it's coming up in May. You have a lot of people that we've talked to over the last, and I just say we, meaning the housing market, that I've talked to over the last 5-10 years, more five, you know, obviously student loan debt's always been an issue, but in the last 5 years, they haven't been paying. And so the amount of people who call me and be like, well, no, I'm never paying those back, Kristen. I'm like, okay, do you have proof of that? Well, no, I don't have proof. I'm still waiting. Okay, then I have to say that you have a payment, because eventually you may. And the amount of the mental.
So they're just saying they're not going to pay it?
Remember the government, Biden?
Yeah, I know. But
May 5th, they start collecting again.
Right. And so the amount of people that truly believed that they would never have to pay these again.
Got it.
And now have to pay it are, a lot of them, I'm guessing, not prepared.
Got it.
So that's another thing that's going to, you know what I mean? It's another example of something that's going to come to them at a high payment that they don't know if they can afford or not afford.
I see it.
Did the government get the green light to garnish either wages for those?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll pay.
And so that's just it. And now that all comes out of your paycheck, and all of a sudden, let's just say you're supposed to be getting, you know, $2,000 gross pay, and you're taking home $700.
What do people do? I mean, you know, people that are starting their career, like, you know, when I started in TV, the pay was so horrific. I was making $9,000 a year, which seems so bizarre now.
I worked 3 jobs. It's almost crazy the amount of people who are living so paycheck to paycheck, and you say, you know, maybe you got to get another job for a little while to pay this debt off, and they're like, what? Me? No. The amount of people who aren't interested in getting a second or a third job just to make their ends meet is... They're waiting for that help.
I would almost think if I was younger and make one, that I would try to get a second job just to pay for the groceries.
Yes.
Like I was at a store yesterday, and avocado was $2. And avocado.
That's a lot.
It's $2.
Yeah.
It's
expensive.
You listen to, and there's plenty of advice out there, but I'm a pretty big Dave Ramsey fan. I mean,
I love a lot of what Dave Ramsey says. I don't agree with everything, but mostly I do.
But when you just listen to one of his podcasts, it's like, okay, I get that. That makes a lot of sense to me, but he'll work this second job. And he doesn't scare you, like, for the rest of your life you're going to be delivering pizzas. It's just to pay off that one debt.
That's what I mean.
It's just short term.
Just to pay the grocery bill.
Okay.
Just short term.
But it's a short term thing. Yeah. Just do that. And it's like, and people say, well, what job should I take? I could clean sewers. I could deliver pizzas. Or I could, you know, clean carpeting. Guys, like, I don't care. One that pays the most.
All right. Just so you know, though, cleaning sewers is what led me to file the only summer student grievance against Dominic Polini, our general manager at the mine. Okay. I'm just saying that did not lead to good things, because that was the job he put me on.
Oh, gosh.
All I'm saying is take the highest paid job, pay off that credit card debt.
I agree with that. Okay. I totally agree with that.
When I started in mortgage, people think that this... I've been doing this almost 25 years.
Right.
For the first 10 years of my career, I wasn't making any money. Yep. It was, you're trying to establish yourself. Real estate agents are the same in most cases. I worked on a garbage truck. I audited dumpsters.
Whoa.
Yes.
Back up. Tell me.
We did some not so glamorous things to make sure we could stay in this career. Exactly.
Come on, Kristen. Here we go.
Right?
Where did you do this? Tell us
Waste
this story.
Waste management. Oh, gosh, I was in my early 20s.
I've never held you in higher esteem than having a
I sat on a garbage truck and I audited all the dumpsters with the garbage man. I did that for weeks on end. I got paid at the time. It was $13 an hour, but that was massive.
I would take $13 an hour.
Usually it was like $7 or $8 an hour.
Right.
Aging myself. But I made a bunch of money in 3 months and paid off everything I had.
There you go.
And it was great. Yeah. And I did that. You know, my job could work around that because you started at, you're on the truck at like 4 or 5 in the morning. You were done by noon or 1. So I could still get all my stuff done. I bartended for probably 10 years.
Yeah. Good for you.
It was fast cash. And then one of those jobs is nice because if you don't need the money, you can say, hey, you need my shift. And then if you need the money, there's always somebody willing to give a shift up.
Yeah.
So you're not committed to hours or anything. But yeah, I worked 2-3 jobs like that to get myself through. There was a life I wanted to live and I needed to make money to do it. And that's the thing that I think we're not stressing enough on. It's okay to work a couple jobs.
Absolutely.
You are not beneath anybody because you have to work a couple jobs to get by.
And
it's
you have to.
Actually, I think it's very respectful.
And you have to. It's not forever. That's something you have to tell people. Yep. It's not forever, yep. But you need to do this for the next, till this is paid off. This $5,000, $4,000 credit card thing that you're carrying around.
And I'll tell
you
what, just mentally, because I've done some stuff sometimes in my head. It's just like, okay, for every one of these shows I'm going to do and I make, you know, X number of dollars on these, you know, other things.
Yeah.
I want all that going towards this.
There you go. That's,
you know,
that's smart.
I think that's a good
way. All that extra. You have to make a mindset one day because we obviously look at credit. So we see a ton of debt out there.
You didn't scare me because I'm, you know, too old to worry too much about this anymore. But you scared me a little bit the time we were in here when you're talking about how much something that you would never, your Spectrum or Time Warner or whomever. You have a problem with the bill and you're like, wait a minute. No, I'm not even going to pay that because I don't think, And how that, I don't care what you think of it, somebody else out there in this world is taking that information and using it potentially against you without you even knowing it.
The disputes.
That is scary.
Yep, the disputes. There's so much. There's one area that I think needs so much regulation and is our credit industries. You know, it's the same thing they do trigger leads. We pull a credit bureau because we have to.
Right.
Right? The credit bureau agencies then sell the borrower's phone number, not all their personal data, but their phone number. So then instantly they get 20, 30, up to 70, 80 calls from other mortgage companies who are buying that information. So not only are we paying them an astronomical amount for a credit report, they then are selling the number on top of it.
How unethical is that?
How unethical and how unregulatory. And it's different for everybody. But yeah, that's one of the things that you don't know. And gosh, would I love to teach a credit class? Maybe I need an education certificate to do that.
It's the same thing when you look up something on, I want to say Zillow.com or whatever, housing-wise.
Yeah.
It's shocking how many agents, and God bless them. I'm sure I was one of them at one time. When that pops up that you even inquired on a place, how many times your contact information is now going to be shared.
It's bad. It's bad. And it's not us doing it. It's the bureaus or it's the, like the Zillow stuff is paid.
Yeah.
The realtors and the loan officers on that. I did that at one point. And I lasted about a year and a half on it. And it was just, to me, felt so grimy.
Yeah.
I did not like it. It was not my jam. But some people don't mind picking up the phone and hustling people for, you know. To make a buck.
I hated that.
I hate it.
I hate
personally.
It.
I agree.
Because you know what I would get all the time?
Teach their own.
I remember one time I got a call. Is this John Minow? He goes, why are you harassing my mother? I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, John Minow called her about selling her house. Why are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm in real estate now.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, really?
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, do you know that? Is this the John Minow sports guy? I go, yeah. So it's like it was at the point where I would have to explain it so often who was calling.
Yeah.
It's like it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Then he'd be like, what do you think of the name of a Packer player? It's like, okay, I got to get back
to work. Instant reversal
conversation. Exactly, so that wasn't good. Stick around. Kristen Ambles, Point Mortgage. If you have any questions, let us know.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Ready.
The draft is done and our top craft pick votes are in. We narrowed it down to 10 top contenders, and after hundreds of votes, the winners have been crowned. Congratulations to Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, the winner of the Mino and the Mayor Top Craft Pick promotion. Plus, just for voting, Rhonda Schrader walks away with $250 in gift cards from our participating sponsors. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Picks, drafting Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And if you happen to be a caregiver in the Outagamie County, this event is for you. Because on Wednesday, April 30th, from 3:30 till 6 p.m., you can join other caregivers for the Outagamie Caregiver Appreciation Event. Connect with others as you relax, enjoy dinner, speakers, and learn about local supportive resources. Plus, there's a load of prizes to be won. Head to wgbw.fm and click events to find out more.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS, and the Civic Media app. 50 degrees in Green Bay, 51 in Hampton, 49, excuse me, in Oshkosh. Forecast severe thunderstorms, high in the low 50s. We were just looking at the weather map that Todd put up again. It's gotten redder, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, it's last severe. Looks like it's going to be winding down a little bit. We'll probably see some showers and storms in Green Bay and the Valley, but it's
definitely moving, looks northeast-ish.
Yep, northeast, but there is a second round coming to the west, so we'll keep an eye on that round as well.
So everybody listening, like, towards Leona-ish and everything, even like Naopit, we had somebody text in from Naopit and Kashina today, and that area seems like it's more in the line, doesn't it, Todd, just from what I'm seeing on that map?
Yeah.
What? No,
nobody knows where that is.
Yeah, they do.
Wausau?
What do you mean? Between Wausau and over here.
And Naopit? You think a lot of people listening know where Naopit is?
The people in Naopit do.
I randomly do.
I'm talking to the people in Naopit.
Well, I mean, why? Oh, okay. I thought you were saying, because that would be, let me guess here. That would be 50 miles west of here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's
northwest? Northwest.
Probably a little bit more north.
Yeah. More north than north.
I'm just trying to help our listeners, John.
When was the last time you were in Naopit?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you that.
You know what? When was the last time you were in Kashina?
Probably.
When was the last time you were in Crandon?
Last time I was in Naopit.
All right.
Gosh, that's we have to Crandon out there 3-4 times a year.
That's my favorite corridor. I have been to Wisconsin.
Yes, I agree.
That's like my favorite corridor going right up here. Through that area to the all the way to the UP, isn't it though?
It is. Well, my husband races.
You go off
Crandon twice a year.
Yeah, right.
And then we go up twice a year. Yeah. Otherwise,
is that a beautiful area?
It is. I love it.
It is.
Love it.
The North Woods, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Mike says, I like my second job better than my first job.
Of course he does. Oh, Pritzel.
Mike, I don't think I read his first text. You still have that, Todd? Was it 96 drivers he had for the weekend?
For
96 Uber drivers. Yep. Right.
Wow.
Indeed.
All right.
I love it.
That still wouldn't be a bad gig.
Heck no, I still want to do it. I just think it'd be fun to talk to people all day.
Yeah.
And I talked to Mike about it, and he loves it. He truly does.
I talked to a friend of mine who did Uber and then did DoorDash.
Yep.
And I don't know how she did it, but she said she made as much on DoorDash and didn't have to talk to people.
I believe it.
But
yep.
Some people are nice. 99% of the people are nice. Yeah. But sometimes you get the one that maybe isn't so nice. So she just really enjoyed the DoorDash. Yeah. But I don't know. There's money in delivering people or food.
Oh, yeah. Convenience.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I will say this, though, and I've seen that here at times where I stay. Sometimes there'll be bags, DoorDash, outside the door where people, it seems like they just, okay, you're not going to answer your phone. You're not going to whatever.
Yeah, I'm just leaving it here.
It's like, if you make that order, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The big bag of McDonald's.
Don't you think you're waiting there to get that call and you're going to run down and get it?
Right. No, I think, yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Tell us, okay, you worked on the waste management.
I've had some crazy jobs.
Give me another one.
I was.
And I'm saying this with a purpose, and go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was in my high school career. I washed all the cars at Gander Chevrolet on all the lots.
Oh, really?
Every day.
If, when the weather's nice, that would be a pretty
good
gig.
It's a fun job. My dad was running he was a sales manager there.
Oh, my God.
Ivan Gandrin's daughter, Tiffany, we were both the same age. So that was our summer job. We washed and parked cars all day. So I'm also not anymore, but I used to be a really great car parker.
Yeah. Wow.
Now I'm waiting to find myself on the bad parking of Green Bay because I just don't. I'm in that phase of life where I just whip it in and whatever.
Yeah.
But I can parallel park like nobody's business.
There you go.
Yes.
Love
from having to
that
cars.
Is a there great talent.
Oh yeah, I've done some. I worked at the pickle plant.
Yeah. Bond.
Yep. That's, on Bond Street. Yeah. Oh yeah, I've worked some mill jobs. I've worked all over the place.
Didn't they give college kids like the worst shifts at the pickle place?
Right over totally.
On Broadway, that shoveling beets and that.
Yeah.
Your feet would be purple in your hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that through college. I'd have to go home at then it didn't matter if you had 3 or 4 hours of sleep. So I'd go home at midnight, get up at 3 and go to the pickle plant till noon.
Wow.
Come home, smell like a pickle.
Mm-hmm. Where were you until midnight? What were you doing?
Who knows? Cruising up and down Maine because it was cool then.
I like.
Really aging myself today.
I like that chick that smells like a pickle.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like, which one?
She's with her friends. You're right. Which one?
All the college girls work at the pickle plant.
That's hilarious. No, but the one thing my parents did tell me, and our poor daughter now, we say the same, but was you're not too good to work anything.
No, especially with a...
You know, and that's the thing, just like full circling it around. Let's say you're paying your bills, but you just don't have a little bit of a down payment or closing cost. Get a second job, you're going to save it up within a few months, and then you don't have to work that job again.
And you know what?
Just to take you to step B.
Every bar and every restaurant is hiring.
Every bar, every restaurant. I go anywhere, somebody's hiring good help.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
almost no matter where you go.
Somebody who just wants to work.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation, give us a 2-minute advice.
Sure. To be honest, just pay your bills. Don't miss them. And save the little bit of extra if you can. It doesn't take much, but the biggest line of advice I can give is just put yourself on a budget. That's what people don't do anymore is I still have myself on a budget. You know, I still rework that budget every couple months just to make sure I'm where I need to be. So, yes.
Tell us about your podcast.
Yes, podcast. Always On Point Podcast. You can find it on all the podcast areas, Apple, Spotify, the rest. But we talk about something different all the time. We've got a credit one up there right now. Also, today is coming out with a phase two with Peyton Krieger from Coldwell Banker Mortgage, Coldwell Banker Mortgage, Coldwell Banker Homes Real Estate Group. She's young, and she's been a house hacker, an investor, and a flipper, and she's only been in it 3 years, and she shares her story. So if you're looking to figure out how you can do this too, please listen to her story. It's awesome.
The name of your podcast and where they can find it?
Always On Point.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for being here.
You bet.
Back Bye-bye. After this. Give it up, give it up, give it up, yeah. Got to have.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House touting events this week to mark 100 days of President Trump's second term. But his approval rating sits at 39%, with about 70% of people in the ABC News Washington Post poll saying they believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told ABC,
"The surveys may say that, but consumers are still spending. So I prefer to look at what Americans are doing rather than how they're answering pollsters."
Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say their goal is to pass a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a big issue in today's national election across Canada as Vancouver mourns the 11 people killed when a vehicle plowed through a Filipino cultural festival Saturday. One person died, 12 were hurt when a boat crashed into a ferry off Clearwater, Florida last night. And Spain and Portugal racked by power outages right now, millions in the dark. This is ABC News.
You can always...